welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Right, praise God. Now, I'm going to get some... you may have noticed that there's no J24-7. You may have not known that, but it's a family service. So we should have some young people. They're the ones that are a bit shorter than the rest, hanging around the place. And I do actually want to involve you in a minute. So I'm just letting you be warned that I'm just sending out a warning now that it would be great to have some of you out here. I would particularly like a younger person... They could be from sort of this height downwards, really, who feels they have a particularly loud voice. Is there anyone out there who has a nice loud voice that could do some shouting? You've got a loud voice, have you, sir? Well, I might be calling on you any minute. Okay, are you prepared to do some shouting in this building?
Yeah.
Excellent. I am. What's your name?
Luke.
Luke. Oh, that's fantastic. We're going to be reading from the book of Luke, so we'll have Luke here in person. Right, now before Luke gets to come up, we are going to read from the book of Luke. I've got the Bible somewhere. And here we go. You don't need to turn to it, unless you have a particular desire to today. But I'm reading from Luke chapter 18, verse 31. Now, Jesus had been to Jerusalem many times with his disciples. Okay, but... There came a time when he knew it was going to be the last time they would journey towards Jerusalem, because he already knew, because he understood the scripture, and everything that was to happen to him had already been prophesied. Nobody else understood, because nobody expected God to come and die. Nobody expected the Messiah to suffer, even though it was already written there. If you ever get time and you're wondering where you can find this sort of stuff, look up the prophecies of Isaiah, chapter 53. There's a load of stuff there about the suffering Messiah. But the Jewish people were expecting him to return as king. And so Jesus was a bit of a shock. And even his disciples haven't fully got this yet. Because we read in this passage that Jesus is already trying to prepare them for what is about to happen. And he's on the way up to Jerusalem. So I'm reading now. Taking the 12 aside, that's the 12 disciples, Jesus said to them, "Now, we're going up to Jerusalem, and everything written in the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be delivered to the Gentiles, and he will be mocked, insulted, and spat upon. After they have flogged him, they will then kill him. But on the third day after his death, he will rise to life again." But none of this made any sense to the 12 disciples, for the meaning of his words was hidden from them, so they could not grasp the significance of what he said. Of course they don't realize. You know, he's their hero. They've given up everything to follow him. And they certainly didn't expect it would be just for 3 years. You know, if this is the Messiah, he's around to make an impact. He's going to be visiting some places. He's not going to stick around just in this backwater called Israel or Palestine, a small part of the Roman Empire. Obviously, at some point, he's going to go to Rome. He's going to speak to Caesar. He's going to go to all the major cities of the world, because this is the Messiah. So when he starts talking about this ordinary journey up to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, and he starts saying things like, "Yep, and the Son of Man," which they knows him, "is going to die. And he's going to rise again," they're like, don't even notice. They're thinking he must be coming into some new kind of power, perhaps. You know, maybe he's going to bring a whole new release of God's life. Because obviously, he's not talking literally. But he was. Now, Luke, being very methodical, then describes another story on the journey to Jerusalem. They're obviously quite some way away, because the next story says, as they approach Jericho. Alright, now this is the story I'm going to need some help from. So Luke, you've already volunteered, so if you could come forward, that would be excellent. Round of applause for Luke, everybody. Okay, now, you are actually sat on the curb, so there's a very handy curb there. And you're also blind, okay, so that's it. Close your... Now, actually, blind people don't actually close their eyes, but we always do that, don't we? It's blind, all right. But you can, so that everybody knows. That's great. Okay, but you're not a quiet person, as we're about to find out, so you're going to be doing some shouting very soon. Now, I also need some so-called friends of his who are part of the crowd that are really looking forward to the fact that Jesus is coming into Jerusalem. I mean, they're excited. He's coming to their city. Jerusalem's got a bit of a complex because Jericho was the city that Joshua had marched around and the walls had fallen down and the city was cursed, you know? And here they are in the city of Jericho. So this is an amazing statement that Jesus, this Messiah, is coming to Jericho. It must have been really, really exciting. They don't want anything to go wrong. They don't want anything to spoil it. This has got to be good. You know, Jericho is actually the lowest city on the planet. Did you know that? Occupied city. It's 851 feet below sea level. So there they are, basking in sunlight, but also covered with shame. So the idea of the Messiah coming to this town, this city, is exciting to them. So I need some crowd. So I need some more volunteers. I'm glad you guys have come. Come on down, sir. Let's have some more. I just need you to be crowd. That's it. Great. Fantastic. James, as you've been Jesus already this morning, it'd be great if you could be Jesus again. Now, the crowd, you're lining the street. So you're just lined all along here in one big group. And there's my Jesus. Jesus, if you could go over to the Valley of Seti, just over there. Okay, I need a few more crowd, though. That's not exactly crowd, is it? That's minuscule group. Take a few steps forward. Thank you very much. Right, so let's have some more crowd. There could be some bigger people involved as well, I think, here. You know, such as Lucy, and not picking on anybody in particular. Oh, look, the crowd is gathering. Thank you, Nathaniel. The three brothers together. It's got to be good.
Yeah.
All right. Let's have Obi Ben Kenobi. Come on. And Josh as well, you know. As we're actually in the city of Jericho. Somebody spotted that. Hallelujah. Oh, now we're beginning to get a bit of a crowd. From this high to this high. And bigger. Right. Okay. So I need you to be looking a little bit excited and a little bit in anticipation because Jesus is coming with his disciples, okay? So, yeah, excited people tend to smile and sort of maybe even jig about a little bit. And did I miss some jigging? Okay, well, let's get back into the story. Now, do I need anybody else in this story? I think that's probably... Now, he wasn't actually on his own. He had a couple of... Well, he had his disciples for him. But so he doesn't look lonely over in the Valley of Seti. Let's have a couple of disciples. Look, three disciples just sat there. That's perfect. Could you join Jesus, please? It's one way to ensure nobody ever sits on the front row. Right, so there he is. Jesus is coming to Jericho. Now, it says in this account here in the book of Luke that there was a blind man. We know from one of the other Gospels, Mark, that his name was Bartimaeus, which means the son of Timaeus. This guy was so blind, his first name was blind, because everyone knows him as blind Bartimaeus, you know. So he can't see, and he's sitting there begging by the roadside. And he hears all this crowd being excited. I think there was a little bit of help coming from here, but I seem to think there might be needed a little bit more. So I'll just read that, and then spontaneously everybody can respond to this little passage about what's going on. Bit of drama, Josh, bit of drama. Yes, yes, acting. Yes, bring out your best Gandalf. Now, so there was a blind man begging by the roadside. So you've got your little begging bowl out. That's it, that's good. And hearing a crowd passing, he asked what was happening. So firstly, the crowd. Yay! Okay, and so Bartimaeus is saying, what's happening? What's happening?
What's happening? What's happening?
Oh, goody, he's got a good voice. Right. So they tell him, who's handy? You're handy. Can you tell him, please, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Okay, so here we have Jesus of Nazareth. And with just a little bit of, you know, because we haven't got the size of Jericho here in this room, you may have noticed. So I just want you to do a little bit of walking into Jericho in slow-mo. Okay, so. Right, that'll do. Something like that. All of you. That's good, yeah. Those three guys at the back are wishing, oh, I could have had a lie-in this morning. So here is Jesus who's going to be passing by. The crowd are getting excited. And they're making quite a bit of noise. So the blind man shouts out at the top of his voice, this is what he's going to shout, Luke, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Oh, no, he was louder than that.
Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.
Oh, cool. This boy's good. Just freeze frame there, because you're going to be past him in a minute. And, yeah. Rewind. It's still coming. That's it. Stop. You've just got to keep your eye on the actors, haven't you? Okay, so that coming. You're all happy, he's calling out, but suddenly they realise, this is Jesus coming to Jericho. We can't have this noisy, blind, scruffy beggar calling out, attracting this really important guy. And so they're getting a bit worried, so they all start shouting at him and rebuking at him and saying, be quiet, be quiet, shh. I'm sure somebody said boo. What? Where'd you get boo from? Okay, but do you know what blind Bartimaeus did? Do you know what our Luke did? He shouted even more loudly, Son of David, have mercy on me.
Son of David, have mercy on me.
Hey! He shouts so loud that Jesus, who's still walking in slow-mo, a little bit faster, pauses. Oh, it's so well planned, this. Can you see the coordination? We planned this for not ages. We had minutes and minutes of zero preparation before the service. You'd never guess. Anyway, he shouts even more loudly, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus paused and orders the man to be brought to him. When he was close, so, somebody better take him. Yeah, you'll do. Because he can't see the way. Oh, that's great, that is. What if it's any rocks? I know we're supposed to fall at the feet of Jesus, but not because we tripped over the road. And lo, he fell at the feet of Jesus. Oh, dear. See, you didn't know the real story, did you? Anyway, so actually in Mark, he adds a little extra. He mentions that the crowd who've been saying, shut up, you're spoiling this. Suddenly, the crowd say, take heart. I really can't imagine. Some Israeli saying, take heart. It sounds so English, you know. But that's the translation I've got here. Take heart. Take heart, Bartimaeus. Be of good cheer. Whoopee. And let's have some lashings of ginger beer to celebrate. Take heart. Get to your feet. The master is calling you, they say. And he says that Bartimaeus threw off his cloak, which is a very daft thing to do if you're blind, because you're never going to find it again. But I think he knew he was going to get an answer. So it said that he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. He didn't really trip up on the way because Lucy let go. And he comes to Jesus, and when he was close enough, Jesus asked him, this is your part, okay? We've been preparing you for this. Good, just the rhythm of Jesus beard thing. That's it. He said, what do you want me to do for you?
What do you want me to do to you?
Not to you. At this point, the crowd thought we were right. He's going to thump him for spoiling it. No. Sorry, James. It was the actual line here is... No, I'll let you read it. Says, do you want me to do for you? Got it?
Yep.
Okay. Lights, action, go.
What do you want me to do for
you? Oh. Actually, I don't know why I'm bowing. That's his job. Right. So, after the expressive passion of Jesus was shown, and say, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man says, Lord, I want to see again.
Lord, I want to see again.
This guy's a natural. So Jesus said to him, receive your sight. You are healed because of your faith. Immediately, he was able to see again. And then, he followed Jesus. You lot are all excited too, clapping, cheering. He followed Jesus. Glorifying God. And all who witnessed it, praise the Lord. In a fairly restrained English kind of way. Okay, big round of applause for the amazing acting team. Thank you very much. Thank you, Luke. Okay, so I've got a bit more to say, as you might expect, but not much. So why did Luke write that down immediately following what Jesus just said? At first glance, there's not really much connection. You know, Jesus is saying, right, come on, we're going up to Jerusalem. We're going through Jericho. And then when we're in Jerusalem, I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be, well, he said in much more detail, actually. He didn't say crucified, but he said, I will be, delivered to the Gentiles, mocked, insulted, and spat upon. After they flogged him, they will kill him. But on the third day after his death, he will rise to life again. Raise to life again. None of it made sense. And then they go on towards Jericho. The crowds are shouting. This man calls out, Jesus, Jesus, have son of God, have mercy, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus hears it. He responds to him. The man can see again. The crowd go ballistic. And they all know, yeah, this is a great guy to follow. We're following the one. This is King Jesus. Next stop, Rome. We're taking over the world. Following Jesus. We've given up everything to follow this guy. I don't know which one of that disciples that was. But that's a biblical move. Well, it would be if you could write that down. You know, that's a discernment. Right. I think... Just for that, Brian. He said, move on quickly. Right. What the blind man says to Jesus is really, really important because he says, Lord, I want to see again. I want to see again. So he obviously was able to see it one time. And Jesus says to him, receive your sight, and immediately he's able to see again. Now, that was a physical healing taking place. They've been with him seeing many physical healings. He describes in other places how he's come to save, how to bring salvation. And the Greek word for saved is sozo, or salvation is soteria, which is the same word. It's a very rich word. It means healed in every possible aspect. It means healed physically. It means delivered from whatever mess, whatever state, whatever despair, whatever is going wrong. It's about being delivered from that. It's about being preserved from danger and destruction. It's about being kept alive. It's about being free from disease. It's about being free from sickness. It's about being free from infirmity. So Jesus wasn't just saying there's a place in heaven for you. But he was saying there's a place in heaven for you. But he's saying, I want you to experience heaven here on earth right now. Even the most traditional prayer that you probably may have learnt at school, the Lord's Prayer we call it, says in the middle of it, your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of Jesus is his rule and his reign. It's his sozo. It's all the good things of Jesus being manifest here and now. Now, we won't experience everything in fullness until we actually are in heaven. But we are expected to experience sozo, the salvation of God, the healing, the freedom, the joy, the peace, the strength. So, when he says to Jesus, Lord, I want to see again, Jesus sees another opportunity alongside this to be talking to his disciples. Because really, his disciples should be saying, I can't see. Because they don't understand where they're going. They know they're going to Jerusalem, but they don't know this is the last time they will ever go as one group together. They're going up to the very first Resurrection Sunday, but they don't know it. Jesus has told them, but they haven't realized it. They're completely mystified by what's going on. But this man sat by the side of the road. There's something about him, because the crowds are saying, shut up, be quiet, you're spoiling it. And still, Bartimaeus, is crying out, Jesus! He won't allow the crowd of popular opinion to shut him up. He knows there's an answer in Jesus, and he's not going to listen to all those voices around him. I mean, these voices are looking forward to Jesus coming into town. Now, I praise God that the Prime Minister, David Cameron, has been putting a positive spin on Christianity. That's lovely. That's great. But his voice is still, he's talking about Christianity being good works and doing stuff. That's fantastic. We're into that. We're doing lots of that. But the message of Christianity is a man who died and rose again. Yeah. And even the good voices that are expecting Jesus, who sort of shut him down into a level of boring mediocrity and making him safe for people, we need to shout above that as well. Yeah. Jesus! Let me see the truth. Let me see the reality. Let me see the kingdom of heaven acting in my life. I don't want to be sat on the curbside while Jesus goes past in my generation. I want to be one of the guys like Luke was, like Bartimaeus was, like the three stooges over there were. They were following Jesus. They were already behind him. They were going with him. I don't actually know who they are, so I hope that's not too insulting.
That's good.
Mike looks like he does know who they are. So they're behind him. You don't want to be left on the curbside because you've been shut up by people around you, by others at school that say Jesus is a load of rubbish. You can very easily get shut up by embarrassment. You don't want to feel different, but we're called to be different. Yeah. When you feel different, it's like, yes, that's what I'm supposed to be. Yeah. I'm called to be me in Christ. Yeah. Some of the modern stuff, you know, that sings about I'm free to be me and all, you know what I mean. You know, it's very popular to, you know, I'm called to be me and live me. Well, they've got an element of that right. They are. We are. We are free from the opinions of others. We don't have to be shut up by the crowd, but we can call out to Jesus. Because we can go just as we are, but he is going to transform us into what we are fully. He's not interested. People talk about you can come to Jesus as you are. Absolutely. And it's really important because you can feel really rubbish and disgusting and not worthy. Can you go to Jesus like that? Absolutely. But he's not going to leave you there. He's not going to leave you sat by the curbside unable to see. He's going to bring you into his group. You're going to be following him and experiencing his rule and his reign. You're going to be one of his disciples. I wonder what Bartimaeus went on to do. You know, it says that he followed him from this day on. It'd be really interesting to know, really, wouldn't it? Did he go to Jerusalem with them? I don't know. Was he part of the early church? I don't know. I guess he probably was. I mean, you don't get over that kind of experience easily, do you? I bet he was a leading figure in the early church. Or maybe he was just somebody that put the chairs out. I don't know. But he was inspired by Jesus to do what Jesus had called him to do. And he wasn't going to be shut up by the crowd. And because he wasn't shut up by the crowd learnt from him. You see, when we aren't shut up by the crowd, but we are who we are in Christ, the crowd gets to discover who Jesus really is. He's not just somebody who can be used to win back a few votes because you've made a few mistakes with the church in bringing in legislation about stuff. And you've got policies that are unpopular with Christianity because of the way people who've got no money are queuing up at food banks. Maybe that's a bit of a cynical way to look at it. I'll still rejoice that he's saying it. And let's make the most of the fact that he's saying it. Yeah? But Jesus is not some political point scoring. Let's rise up above the crowd. Let's say, Jesus, I want to see. I want to see things as you see them. I want the kingdom of God to be manifest in my life, in my family's life, in those around me. I want to know Jesus. I want to experience Jesus. Who wants to experience him? Not, yeah, you, really? That few? Come on, who wants to experience him? I do. I want to know him from the word. I want to understand him. I want the intellectual knowledge. I want the passionate, emotional understanding. And I want to experience him. I want to know I want the Holy Spirit flowing through me. I love when God's moving and you just feel, oh, his presence is here. I love that. I want that. Don't you want that? Yeah, it's like, oh, yeah, God's here. Sometimes it's, oh, my God, God's here. Because he can come with a sort of a scary awesomeness. Yeah, he's real. Uh-oh. And then I remember he calls me up from the curb and says, what do you want me to do for you?
Come on.
Every day, Jesus is there when we wake up and he says, what do you want me to do for you? What would you answer? What will you answer? What do you want now? It's a good question to answer. There's not one perfect answer. It changes all the time. Yeah. It changes from real personal things like, God, I need this healing, to God, I want to see the power of God move on this town. And both are right.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes we think personal things are lesser. No, it's the kingdom of God manifest.
Yeah,
so, he replied, Lord, I want to see again. And Jesus said to him, receive your sight. You are healed because of your faith. Immediately he was able to see again. Then he followed Jesus, glorifying God. And all who witnessed it praised the Lord. Receive your sight. You are healed because of your faith. Let's not shy away from that. He really did say that. You are healed because of your faith. What faith had Bartimaeus shown? He wasn't going to just go along with the crowd. There was something about this Jesus, so he was going to call out regardless of what the crowd told him to do. That was faith. He threw away his cloak. I think that was faith. As I said, he wouldn't be able to find it very easily again afterwards. No doubt he could have asked around, but throwing away was like, I'm going to the answer over here. I don't need my begging shawl anymore. Because if he could see, he wouldn't need to beg. You see, when God sorts you out, you don't need to beg anymore. He sorts you out. He wasn't going to get his sight back so he could sit and look at how much money he got. He was getting his sight back so he could follow Jesus. When Jesus heals you, it's not so you can carry on as you were. It's so you can follow him. It's so you can join the adventure. It's so you can be part of the journey. And you can be part of the journey if you're 6 years old or 7 or 8 or 9 or 99. The journey can begin in this place here today, or it can get more exciting, or it can get more adventurous. But you're just being prepared to say, I'm going above the crowd. I'm calling out to Jesus. And I want it to be done according to my faith. So what's faith? Faith is responding to the word. It's doing something. It's an action. Because you can say, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. Sounds like a song. Till you're blue in the face. It is a song. But unless you actually do something about it, you don't really believe it. You're just trying to convince yourself. And you're not going to get anywhere by trying to convince yourself. I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. The stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. The stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. You know, just put all that down. You don't need to do any of that. Because Jesus said that faith was as small as a mustard seed. It's something small. So it's something that you do, that you act upon, because you believe Jesus will do what he says. Bartimaeus makes a big step here. He gets up and goes to Jesus in front of everybody. That was the faith. He went to Jesus. He did something. He took action, believing that his prayer, his shout, his call was about to be answered. So faith for you, whether you've been around the block a few times or whether you're at primary school, is exactly the same. It's Jesus says, so I'll do. So, faith at the beginning of an adventure with Jesus says, yes, I'll follow him. And you make a step. And you go to somebody who says, you can go to somebody and say, what do I need to do? And they can tell you. But your faith says, I'll make that step. I'll become a Christian. I'll say yes to Jesus. I want to be part of this adventure. So for you this morning, if you don't know the real source of Resurrection Sunday, if you don't know really why everybody at the beginning was going, oh, happy day, and you're thinking, what? It's because it really is. When you get sin washed away, you say, well, I'm not sure I believe all that sin concept. When it's all washed away, you suddenly get this freedom. That thing that you've carried, that way you feel, the shame and everything else that can mount up, it's just like it gets washed away. It's taken, it's removed, which is why it's a one happy day. It's because Jesus died, this can happen. There had to be a way made because God wanted that relationship with us again. He wanted us to see. So he had to make a way. And that's what Easter is all about. It was the way God made by saying yes to Jesus. I'm going to believe in you as Lord and Saviour. So if you're in that position this morning, you don't need to go home today still not knowing what it's really all about. You can come into that position of knowing Jesus today. And so if that applies to you, let me leave that with you just for a moment. I could say yes to Jesus today. I could follow him today. I could let the kingdom of God, the rule and the reign of Jesus, start happening in my life and my family's life today. It's there. Jesus says in the Gospels regularly, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, it's right in front of your face. He says one other bit as well. He usually says with that, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What's repentance? Repentance, the Greek word is metanoia. It means to change your mind. It means to say, okay, I'm changing my mind. I'm not going to sit on the curb. I'm not even going to be part of the crowd. I'm going to say yes and follow Jesus. There may be stuff I've been doing that's wrong. I ask you to forgive me for that, Lord. All that I've done that's wrong. Forgive me, Jesus. I repent. I change my mind about it. I want to go your way. If that's you, you don't need to go home today without knowing Jesus for the first time. But also, this morning, I want there to be an opportunity for anyone who needs healing to experience the kingdom of heaven in their bodies. We've just talked about experiencing the kingdom of heaven in your whole life. Let's also talk about experiencing the kingdom of heaven here and now as physical and mental and spiritual healing. Because the kingdom, the word sozo, we mentioned earlier, is triumphing over sickness and disease as well. It's giving you a healthy mind. So how do you get healing? Well, Jesus says it again and again. He said it to Bartimaeus, your faith has healed you. But sometimes we've made faith so difficult. Faith is just taking action. Bartimaeus responded to Jesus. If you need healing today, it begins with the faith that's in this building, the faith that's in us because we trust in the Lord, but also it's you. And you can, what we will do in a couple of minutes is give an opportunity for you to respond. Whether you want to say yes to Jesus the first time or whether you want healing to happen, we'll give you a chance to do something because it's in the doing you're saying, I'm going to believe, I'm going to try this. I've got just a mustard seed of faith. Or maybe this morning you want to do that and stand for somebody else, one of your friends or family. You can do that too. But you're going to take action to receive that kingdom. You could imagine it being poured out like a jug of anointing oil from heaven, just pouring over you so that you receive that healing. Thank you, Jesus. So let's just stop for a minute. Just wait upon God for a minute. I believe the Holy Spirit is mentioning something to me to do. There's somebody here today. Sometimes there's more than one with the same thing, but you've got pain in both your knees. A creak Wednesday this week, it was particularly bad. And you were really hobbling. It's not so bad today, but that pain in your knees really restricts what you can do. Sometimes it makes you fearful in terms of going out for any distance from where you can get back to comfort to allow your knee. They do recover every time they get painful, but it's always there. And the Lord is going to heal those knees today. It's time for that pain to be a thing of the past. There's somebody else here. You get a reoccurring pain here on the right side. It feels quite deep. It feels like it's inside you. It feels like there's a piece... I know this sounds ridiculous on one level, but it feels almost like there's a piece of slate in there. It's like a thin, wide pain. You know, and it's in there, and it's like... The bit of you that's around this is where it's painful. It's just, oh, that's sharp. Oh, that's sharp. You don't know what it is. I don't believe you've actually been to a doctor or anything yet about it. And I believe God is saying to you this morning, it doesn't matter what it is, because this morning I will heal that. So if that's you, if you get that pain just here on the right side, it's time for it to go. I'm not saying it is a piece of slate, of course. I'm just trying to describe how the Holy Spirit's describing the pain to me. There's somebody else who you get a painful scalp. Okay, you get that's what I've got, a painful scalp. It's like it's being, when it's hurting, it's almost like it's being stretched really, really thin, and it hurts, and it's not pleasant at all. You sometimes put your fingers like this, and you sort of put them on your head, trying to ease that pain from that painful scalp. God's going to heal that for you this morning. I don't think you're actually in pain at the moment. Maybe just marginally. It's something that comes and goes, but there's that God wants to heal. Somebody else, you get pain here in your eye, just right in the corner, just by your nose. So this is my left eye. So I imagine it's your left eye. And it's like a permanent piece of grit in there. Very, very irritable. Sometimes your eye looks very red. Sometimes it's watering. But it's time for that to be healed today. These are just some specific ones that God's highlighting at the moment. Okay, I'm just trying to respond to those. It doesn't mean you can't be healed of anything else. There's another person... It's in your left foot, and it's all the way down the side of the left foot. You get a sharp shooting pain. You have been to the doctor. You've tried some different things. One told about shoes that you can wear, but it's like along the side of your foot, and just makes walking very, very painful. It's like when you're walking, this pain just shoots along from toe to heel. Again, the Lord wants to heal that today. Just before we let people respond, let's just see if there's anything else. Well, I should imagine this is quite a common one, but I feel the Lord giving it to me. Reoccurring migraine headaches. Yours occurs right here in the frontal lobe of your brain. It doesn't knock you right out. Sometimes you're able to continue, and other times you just got to go and lay down for a while, preferably in a dark place. You pull the curtains and you lie on your bed. Ordinary painkillers don't really shift it at all when it happens. But yeah, you get this reoccurring migraine. You thought you were going to have one on Good Friday. It started to come on, but that did go away again. You thought you were going to have a bad one for Good Friday, but you didn't. It came. You got like the early symptoms of it, but it didn't fully develop. I believe that, you know, that the Lord's telling me this just to give you that confidence. This is for you. This is your healing. But if you suffer from those migraine headaches, if the Lord's giving stuff like that out, you know, just stand and receive in a second. Just respond. I'm going to give you the opportunity to respond in two steps. In a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand if any of these words have been specific to you, or you want to respond because you're going to believe God for healing today. And then when everybody's had the opportunity to do that, and also to stand if you want to say yes to Jesus for the first time today. And the second step will be to come and stand at the front. Now, why am I doing that? Because I'm giving you two things to do, to act upon, and that's faith. You say, it doesn't seem very much. It's not actually very much to be taken to Jesus by the crowd and get your sight back. It wasn't really that much in many ways for the woman who was ill to reach out and grab the hem of his garment, but she did. She did something believing Jesus could heal. And so your standing and coming out this morning is your getting up off the curb. It's your grabbing the hem. It's you saying, okay, I'm coming to Jesus. I'm not letting the crowd who said, that's not healable, that's not, you can't do anything about that. I'm not letting the crowd shut me up. I'm going to Jesus because I'm following him. Okay? Nigel, man of God, could you come and play the keyboard so that it's not just my voice. In a short while, probably after we've begun to pray with people, we'll bring the service to an end and we'll draw that door across and let you get home to your rest of your Easter Sunday. But let's just spend a few more minutes when we're all together. So it's Resurrection Day. Jesus demonstrating complete victory. So let's see complete victory over sin, because you're saying yes to Jesus for the first time, and victory over sickness in your body. God also wants to encounter somebody, just as we do this morning, who you've really, really had a struggle with bouts of depression. And people have told you it's linked to things that have happened to you. And the Holy Spirit sent you this morning, actually, it's a chemical imbalance in your brain. It needs a physical healing, not a mental one. So you've been suffering regularly from bouts of depression. You've tried various things, but it's not really worked. It's helped alleviate it, but it's not really worked. God wants to restore the right balance in your brain this morning. So that's another person that can, or two, that can stand. So let's take the first action. If you're responding to one of those words and you want Jesus to heal you this morning, whatever age you are, child or adult, could you just stand where you are? Don't be embarrassed. You're in good company. Remember, it's not how you feel. You're probably struggling with, I don't think anything's going to happen. It's what you're doing. In a minute, when I ask you to walk to the front, you might be full of doubts. Nothing's going to happen, nothing's going to happen. But the fact that you're walking forward shows your true faith. Just wait a minute, because there's a couple more people to stand. Much better to do it this way than try again another time. This is a moment. If you're going to give your life to Jesus this morning, if you're going to become one of his followers, make sure you're standing right now. when you come forward, I'm going to stand with you and ask God to release that healing upon you. Okay, the second step now then. Come forward to Jesus the healer, or Jesus your Saviour.
I'm going to break through this. And I just really feel like God has done that. I've been walking and walking and making sure that it's not going to bother me anymore. And this morning, for the first time in I do not know how many years, I jumped up and down in worship this morning. I've got to thank God for that. And I just want this healing to be complete today. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, praise you, Lord.
Can you just stand over there then, next to Dan? Yeah. Is there anyone else at this last minute? Nice. I'm going to, just before we pray, there's just one thing I need to say to you guys as you come forward is, are any of you standing here now because this morning you're going to say yes to Jesus for the first time? If that is you, can you just raise a hand so we can pray with you, just in case that's any of you? Is that you? That's awesome. Well done, young lady. And that was really brave too, to put your hand up in front of all these people. Now, I'm going to just pray with you. Is that okay? If you can, repeat these words after me. But imagine you're saying them not to me, but straight to Jesus, because actually he's here. Are you ready? So this is how it goes. Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ.
I give my life to you.
I give my life to you.
I'm going to follow you.
I'm going to follow you.
All my life.
I'm not
going to
go my way anymore.
I'm going to go your way.
I'm going to go your way.
I receive your Holy Spirit now.
I receive your Holy Spirit now.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now just be filled with his Holy Spirit.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.